Amen. Today, very briefly, we're going to talk on the subject of dealing with tragedy. Everyone say dealing with tragedy. I'm so glad to see all of you here today, and I'm grateful that the Lord has spared all of our lives. I've told you once, I was in a meeting as a young man, and one of the mothers of the church, we had mothers back then of the church. We had mothers back then of the church. Mothers back then, they'd pull you to the side. Say, hey, sweetheart, that dress you got on, it ain't quite long enough. Or if it was a little clingy, they have to cover you up. Where have all the old mothers gone, I wonder? Because let me say, our young daughters and young men need you. Oh, it's quiet. Let's say it again. Our young daughters and our young men need you. Amen. Let me say this. I pray that God would give every mother the boldness and the courage. Well, let me step back for a minute. Let me say this. I pray that every young girl, every young boy would be humble enough to receive instruction. You don't know it all. You don't know it all. You think you know it all. You ain't lived long enough to know it all. What you do know, you get from your peers. They know just like you know, nothing. Find you an older person who you will allow to speak into your life and tell you, hey, young lady, hey, young man, that's not appropriate. Huh? Stop being so, I don't know what you call it. I don't know. Just, what is it? Rebellious? Man. It's almost like you can't tell them nothing no more. But we need to be bold. Amen? Hey, when you sagging, pull. Huh? Man. We have to have courage. And I know in this day and age we're fearful of what the response would be. But I believe that the Spirit of the Lord somehow can provide protection for you. I believe there's somehow the Spirit of the Lord can give you a way of communicating to them in such a way that it would be received. Amen? See that? Now let me say this. You have to pick the right time and the right tone when you speak to people. Huh? Don't embarrass them. Pull them aside. Have a conversation with them. Amen? They're more likely to receive it then from you. And let me say this. Let me back up a little bit further. I'm going to say this to you. If you don't take the time to build a relationship, you don't have no right to speak into their life. One youth pastor told me this. She said, rules without relationship breeds rebellion. Once you establish the relationship, you then have earned the right to speak into their life words of correction or discipline. But you don't know them, you better keep your mouth shut. Because they'll tell you something. In a foreign language. Dealing with tragedy. this past week, most of us, if not all of us, were disillusioned once again after the mass shooting in a local high school in Florida. The word tragedy means this. It means this. The word tragedy means this. An event causing great suffering, destruction, and distress. An event causing great suffering, destruction, and distress. It could be a serious accident, crime, or a natural disaster. A tragedy most often comes without warning. It does not telephone you ahead of time and say, I'm coming. No. You see, the Lord is very kind. He has told us for 2,000 years, I'm coming. So when he comes and you're not ready, don't like, oh, no. He's been telling you, 2,000 years, I'm coming. Amen? But a tragedy most often comes without warning. You do not see it coming. It takes you by surprise. With a tragedy, you have no time to prepare. It is sudden. It's sudden. Sudden. Show me this map. Show me this map. This map. In the past 5 years, there has been 290 school shootings here in the United States. Each one of those dots on this map represent a school shooting. 290. How many mathematicians we have here? And no one's raised their hand, praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Well, let me tell you, y'all scared. In 5 years, there are over or just about 260 weeks. In 5 years. There have been 290 school shootings in 5 years. There have only been 260 weeks in 5 years. We must be careful because of the abundance of them that we do not become desensitized to it. The enemy wants you to become accustomed to the craziness. Huh? You know, even your own family, you got folks that you become accustomed to their craziness. Every Thanksgiving, you know, your uncle or the auntie or that cousin. Well, that's, you know Pookie when he come. You know. The enemy wants you to become accustomed to it, so it will then become the norm and no longer abnormal. Let me tell you this. This right here is abnormal. Abnormal. And Brother Ed mentioned during his prayer time that for many of the parents who kissed their loved one goodbye, last week, they could no longer do that because that loved one is gone. I wish we could say that it is an easy problem to solve, but it is multifaceted with many levels. It's not just an issue with broken homes. It's more than that. It's not just an issue. Well, you got to raise them in the church. Yeah, but it's more than that. It's a combination of many things that brings us to this, that's been orchestrated by the prince of the power of the air, this ruler of darkness, who has set things up 60 years ago to bring us to the point that we are at now. This issue didn't just happen just now. It had been set up from years ago with a breakup of the home, as we are accustomed to it, with the redefining of what a home looks like. Huh? Yeah. With the removal of the things that pertain to God in our system, in our school system. You're going to think I'm crazy right now. I'm about to say it, though. Even in the food that we eat, tell me this. If I have to do less to grow an item, because it grows naturally, I'm going to charge you more for doing less to it. But for the things that I put in or additives to it, then I charge you less. Huh? So I charge you more for what I did less to and call it organic. Huh? And then I position it in locations where a greater percentage of the population won't have access to it. And all they have access to is to the item that I have doctored to get into your system to cause you to not function as God designed. So then I, the enemy, can tempt you to do something that you wouldn't normally do if you are not imbalanced. This is a deep thing here. Huh? I position a great portion of the population, I position them in a place where they think they're in a place where they cannot educate themselves well. And so when they're uneducated, they do not garner the type of vocation or job that would allow them the freedom to buy the food that is best for them. I place the best food and the best stores 20 miles away from the hub of the population. And what I place around the corner from them is food that is not the best thing for them. It's a trip. Huh? I mean, this the enemy has planned this. Huh? The enemy has planned this. I know I'm going to deal with this. This is part of the tragedy. This is part of the tragedy. That many people don't have access to what's best for them. Whether it's because out of their location, or because financially they aren't able to. So you turn your TV and you see a $2.99 deal at Burger King and McDonald's. I've only got $6. I can get two meals at McDonald's, Burger King, and feed y'all. Because it costs $6.99 to get the organic, which is not even in my neighborhood. Listen, parents, stress the importance of education to your children so that they can position themselves in a place to garner a job that allows them the freedom to make the choices of what they want to eat. A great percentage of our population is limited by the choices they can eat. I can either go to McDonald's and pay the rent, or I can go to whatever an organic store is and take a chance. I'm going to McDonald's so I can pay the rent. Huh? It is, listen, the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 3. It said this. It said that the serpent was more subtle than in any other animal there. That subtle, slick, smart. One pastor told me, he said, listen, no matter when you see the snake, he done seen you first. Huh? You think you done seen it? Oh, no, he done seen you first. Huh? And so he's been patient, creating this dynamic in which we live. To your neighbor, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. All those things add up to what we are experiencing now. Young people being imbalanced in their mind. Oftentimes because what they put into their system. And then they go to a doctor, and the doctor recommends some more pills to counteract the messed up food they're eating at home. Huh? It's a tragedy. Amen? Let me stop for a minute, because this is just on my mind to share with you. Because we're talking about food, right? I know it didn't work last time very well, all right? But we have to figure out some way. This local church, Paul, you were involved, Sister Sheila, you were involved with this, of growing our own food that we could bring to our own church, that we could feed our own people. Huh? There's got to be a way, huh, that we can grow our own vegetables, some of our own fruit, that we can bring to this place and feed our people and others around us. Huh? I know it didn't work last time very well, but we have to keep thinking, figure something out, because if we don't, we're going to see more incidents. Yeah. Tragedy touches everyone. None of us are insulated from it. No matter what is said here today, it does not make it easier to deal with. So let's look at how we can cope or deal with tragedy. I'm going to look at three things on how to deal with tragedy. Number one, write this down if you can. We must look at tragedy through the lens of eternity. We must look at tragedy through the lens of eternity. Now, this first step only provides hope to those who have suffered tragedy if their eternal destination is found in Christ. This step right here is for those who eternal destination is found in Christ. Let me explain it to you. If a loved one suffers or is involved in tragedy and they are no longer here, if their life was in Christ, then though they are not here with us, we can look through the lens of eternity and find hope for the reunion. Some years ago, I remember it well, when Brother Osby lost his son. The only way to deal with the tragedy of a sudden loss is look through the lens of eternity. Because you can't deal with it. The only way to make it, to get out of bed the next day, my wife lost a son before we were married because of a fire. How old are we, five? Five. The only way to make it, you've got to look at that tragedy through the lens of eternity. If all you see is right here, you're not getting up the next day. You quitting your job. You laying in the bed, putting the covers over, you ain't taking no phone calls, amen? Because of the tragedy. Now, this next statement should propel us to share the message of hope through Jesus Christ. If our loved one falls victim to a tragedy and they are without Christ, then they spend eternity in hell, which is greater than any tragedy here on earth. We have a right, we have an obligation to present Christ to all those in our circle. We have an obligation. I cannot allow you to walk in out my life every week and not pull you aside for a brief moment in time and present to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you pass away by any tragic event or just pass away and you spend eternity in hell, you know what? God is going to look at me sideways. The only way to deal, well, one way to deal with tragedy is we must look at it through the lens of eternity, knowing that, you know, I'm going to see him again. Huh? I'm going to see him again. Because without that hope, it's messed up. Huh? I don't know how unsaved folks deal with it. Because I barely deal with it being saved. Amen? That pain is hard. And it stays with you. Don't let folks tell you it used to be over by now. Boy, before I hit you, you better get away from me. The second way to deal with tragedy is this. What's this? We live a life with no regret, or with little regret. Live a life with little regret. Watch this. We do not take a chance of not saying to our friends and loved ones what we would say about them at the funeral. Let me say it again. Let me tell you again. We do not take the chance of not saying to our friends and loved ones what we would say about them at the funeral. Many nice and wonderful things are said at the foot of a casket. But those words, for some reason, are withheld while the person is alive and can hear them. How do I deal with tragedy? Before it happens, I'm going to make sure I tell you, you and you, how I feel about you. Because tragedy is sudden, and it happens so fast. You won't get a chance, in most cases, to say those things to them while they can hear it. And so you must share with them the nice and wonderful things you would say at their funeral. Stop withholding words of love, words of kindness, words of admiration. Tell them. Say your name, but tell them. Tell them. Don't be like some of us and say, well, they know how I feel. No, you better tell them. How many here like to be told nice and kind things? Amen. I know every man does. We like to be told. Amen. Yeah. Don't say, well, they should know. No, tell them how you feel. Because when they are gone, you're going to be moaning and crying. So I wish I'd have just told them. Oh, why did oh, oh. And we act up at the funeral. We're talking about we blacks. I don't know about, you know, other folks. We do. We act up. We cry, we lay on the casket, try to get in the casket, and the man trying to close the casket, and we in the way. I'm trying to tell you, tell them those words now. Amen? Go with me to Ephesians 5:1. I want to tie this with this. Ephesians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1. It says here, be ye therefore followers, another word for this is imitators, okay, of God as dear children. God tells us often how he feels about us. God doesn't just sit back and say, oh, they know how I feel about them. No, he tells us we are called to imitate God. So let's start imitating him. And in fact, right now, you got your phone with you? Get your phone out. Get your phone out. All right. And I want you to text that son, that daughter, that mama, whoever it is, that you ain't told them I loved you in like months. And I just want you to tell them, I'm just here in church. And I wanted to tell you that I love you. Okay. All right. Send it. All right. We're called to imitate Jesus, right? He has told us often. John 3:16 said what? For God to what? Yeah, yeah. He tells us often, right? So, yeah, tell them. Listen, it's not fake if you love them. Don't say, well, that's just fake. No, it's not fake if you love them. It's the truth. But they need to hear it. Because I don't want you having to deal with tragedy and they haven't lived this life of regret because you didn't tell them. Because you were too cool. You were too stuck up. You were too proud to tell them. Get off your high horse. Let them know how you feel about them. Amen? It's not fake. And in fact, go with me to Luke chapter 3. I tell you, oftentimes, Ed and I be on the phone, and we'll be talking, and then we'll say, man, I love you, man. He need to know that. I know every time me and Vernon, we hug each other outside, he tells me that he loves me. Listen, men need to hear that. Why is it so quiet in here today? Oh, y'all still texting? I didn't say write a love letter. Just say, hey, I love you. Man, you write the love letter. Huh? Don't take that long. Get a few hearts, huh? And send it. My goodness. My God. Okay. Do I have Luke? Give me Luke. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. It says this. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened. And what happened? And the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. The Father himself, listen, dads, tell your sons you love them. Wow, I'm there this side. Hey, dads, tell your sons you love them. Amen. 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 Glory to God. The Father demonstrates how we are to deal with those in our circle. The Father did not limit his words of love and affirmation to just times of private fellowship. He wanted the people around Jesus to know, this is my boy and I love him. This is my boy right here and I love him. Jesus, who we may say didn't need to hear it, he did need to hear it. And the Father told him, this is my son right here. Huh? This is my son right here. And I am well pleased with this boy. Amen? Tell people around your son, listen, this is my boy. Huh? And I'm well pleased with him. I know he didn't act it up. I know that. He didn't make mistakes. I know that as well. But that's your boy. Amen? Well pleased with him. All of us need to hear those words of affirmation. Don't wait till the day of the funeral. He cannot hear those words. I deal with that tragedy. Before tragedy strikes, the people in my circle are going to know how I feel about them. Huh? So if something happens, they'll know, oh, Daddy loved me. Huh? Mama loved me. My brother loved me. Amen? It's all right. You ain't got to be, act like you all cool. You know how I feel. No, tell me. How do you feel? Well, you know. No, tell me. You see, till my father got into his late 60s, no, 70s, not till then did I hear those words out of his mouth. Father, born and raised in Louisiana in the early 20s, without a daddy. Listen, they had broken homes back in the 20s. Don't think it's some new phenomenon, now. And so he wasn't taught how to do that. No dad in the house, right? And so not till it got into the 70s would he, I'm sure when I was a baby, he did that. But when I got to be, big, a teenager, the young man, I didn't hear those words till he got into his 70s and began to tell me how he loved me. Huh? And it made such an impact on me. And I remember, I think I've told you this before, I would, when I got grown, like in my 30s, I'd write my dad a letter. And I remember one letter, I was in my office, one letter in particular, and I was writing to him about how he loved me and how I loved him. And I could hardly get the letter written because I was crying so much. Because I was thinking about the love that we had. Right? Yeah. And even today, I'll write letters. To some of y'all, I've written letters too. Some of you men. I want you to know how I feel about you. Right? During our Bible studies, we were challenging to write a letter. Right? Letters like this lost art. Huh? And I'm not talking about getting on a computer and typing up an email. I'm talking about getting you a piece of paper and an envelope. Amen? All right. Just think about it for a moment. Think about it. Don't raise your hand. In the last 6 months, how many handwritten letters have you written? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. Think about it. Huh? We don't do that anymore. I tell you what. You send two envelopes to my house. One is typed. One is handwritten. I'm opening up the handwritten first. Huh? Because that tells me what? You took the time. Huh? Yeah, you took the time. So the Father did not limit his words of love and affirmation to just times of private fellowship. He told Jesus, I love you, in front of the whole crowd that were there, right? Now, this last one here is going to be the hardest one in dealing with tragedy. It is the hardest one to deal with. And let me don't go to it yet. There's this dude named Job. He didn't have a clue what's going on. There are conversations going on in heaven he's not privy to. All he knows, he's got some kids, a wife, and land, and animals, right? And he's living this life, right? And what's going on. And you know the story. You know, Lucifer comes, you know, and going up and to and fro the earth, checking things out. And he gets in the conversation with the Lord. And Job's name comes up. And Lucifer, Satan said, well, yeah, I mean, you got him insulated. I tell you what, you let me bring a tragic event into his life, he'll curse you. The Lord said, and listen, the thing about the Lord, he know way more than I do. I don't know why he agreed to it. I told the saints before, I'm so glad there's no book written about me in the Bible. Amen? Oh, I'm worse than David and all of them, man. I'm glad it's not written about me. But he had this conversation. The Lord gave them permission, and he attacks Job violently. And there's tragedy that happens. And remember, as I said before, this last thing about dealing with tragedy, it is the hardest one. It's the hardest one. Not many of us are there yet, okay? So let's pick it up at Job chapter 1, right? Job chapter 1. Job stood up. They gave him all this bad news. Tragic event. And the Bible says this. Job stood up, tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell down to the ground to worship. It is the hardest step in dealing with tragedy. It's to be so horrified by the events. So broken up by the events. Yeah. But yet, fall to the ground and worship the Lord. That's the hardest step right there in the middle of tragedy. It's through all the difficulties, all the pain of the event. Now, Job's wife said this to him. You know what she said to him? She said, boy, you're going to curse the Lord and die. Job had enough sense to say, girl, listen, you crazy. I don't care what he do. I don't care if he slay me. Yeah, I'm going to trust the Lord. Listen, we have to get to a point. I'm not saying we're there. Get to a point that no matter what happens, is what Job said. He said, though he slay me, I'm still going to serve. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to serve. So he fell down to the ground to worship the Lord. As I was writing this down, I'll be honest with you, the Lord, don't let me have to walk through this. I'm trying to tell you. This is the hardest part. You know, I can look through the look at tragedy through the lens of eternity on somebody else. Huh? Oh, brother, you know you'll see him again in glory. We can do that, right? It's easy, right? We can even, you know, get to the point where we can just tell our loved ones and our friends that we love them on a regular basis, right? That's, you know, we can do that, right? The hard part here is when the event happens, we scream, we're in grief, there's pain, but we still worship the Lord, and we say, no matter what, I'm still going to trust you. No matter what, I'm still going to trust you. I don't like it. It does not feel good. I have no clue why you're doing this, huh? But I'm still going to trust you. How do you deal with tragedy? Look through the lens of eternity. Live a life with no regrets. And no matter what you face, I'm still going to worship the Lord. When I'm tempted to do something different, I'm tempted to go out there and get drunk. Huh? I'm tempted to go out there and act a fool. Huh? I'm not going to do either one of those. I'm going to fall to my knees and worship him. Huh? Let me say this to you as I close. I trust the Lord enough to know that whatever he allows in my life, he has a confidence in the Spirit of God that lives in me for me to walk through it as long as I walk with him. Don't leave him. None of us are insulated from these events. What separates us from the unsaved is we have someone who will walk with us through it. Huh? That's why we preach salvation. Because without Jesus, you can't deal with life. Huh? You'll end up doing what we're all distraught about in Florida. You do something crazy without the Lord. You need the Lord. Amen? Your family needs the Lord. This world needs the Lord. And so we need to reveal the Lord to those around us. Because they are looking at you and how you live your life through the ups and downs of life. I wish I could say that none of us would never face any more tragic events. I can't promise that. But I can promise this, and I get this quote directly from the Bible. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can say this, that somehow the Spirit of God that's in you will enable you to worship God even through the event. Stand to your feet, everyone. Stand to your feet, everyone. So two things here. I'm going to give anyone who's here today an opportunity. If they've not committed their life to the Lord Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today. You cannot live this life without him. If you're living the life without him, you're not really living. This life he promises to us brings salvation for the future and comfort and a friend for the present. And without him, all you have is worldly friendship. But they are not going to be with you at midnight. Huh? So every eye closed, every head bowed just for a moment. Every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to offer him to you today that he might write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life so that your eternal destination will be secure in him. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, right where you're at, I want you to simply just lift up your hand. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, yes, yes, I see you. Yes, yes, yes. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer together. Yeah, yeah, yes. Everyone say, Father, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross just for me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Be the head of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Deliver me from me. Now, devil, I turn my back on you and all of your ways, and I will live my life for Jesus and him alone. And because of this, I am now saved. I'm now saved. I'm now saved. Give God a hand praise, everyone in this place. I see you, my brother. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Now watch this. The next thing I'm going to pray for. How many have been dealing with tragedy lately? Anybody? I don't know. I just feel like I need to pray for that. Anyone? Yes, yes, yes. I see you. 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 Someone who's by Sister Laura, put your hand on her. Yes. And I want you to know. I want you to know. Yes, my sister. Put your hand on her. Put your hand on her. Yes, my sister. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord has the ability, yes, to carry you through this period of pain and grief that you're facing right now. It's real. It's real. But God's comfort is real as well. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, these young ladies, God, who said they're dealing with this, God, I bring them before your throne now. God, and I just remind myself of what you've said in your word, that you're not going to leave them nor forsake them. Father, I pray that you would fill them with the ability to worship you through the pain, through the heartache. God, I pray that through this, a testimony would be birthed and that unsaved people who are looking into their lives would see your glory, your grace, and your kindness lived out through them. Hallelujah. And what the enemy meant for good, yeah, he said that they would curse you. They have not cursed you. They're here worshiping you, oh God, even though they face the pain. And so I thank you, God, for them and the life they're living for you and in front of others. I pray that you would bring honor to them, that you would bring joy. Yes, 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 Lord, I hear you. That you would restore to them like you restored to Job. More than what they had in the past, restore it to them, oh God. Joy, peace, happiness, God. Everything that they have seemingly may have lost, you restore it to them. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Give God praise in this house, everyone. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So here's what we're going to do. All right. I feel